Amen. 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 Let's start off with John 3:16. Then we're going to go to John 13. And as I'm doing this year, I'm sharing it out of the Passion Translation. If you're watching online and you think I'm on the beach somewhere, I'm not. But we're having our family picnic today, so we dress in picnic attire. Amen. John 3:16 and 17, Passion Translation, says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. Now, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but will experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn it, but to be its savior and to," say it with me, "rescue it." And you know how I feel about rescue workers. They don't ask what you did to get yourself in that predicament. They just save you. You get pulled out by a riptide and you're screaming out, "Help." The lifeguard is saying, "What are you doing out there? Didn't you read the sign?" No, they just rescue you. And that's what we have to start doing. Rescuing, not interrogating.
Well, amen.
Amen. Say, "I'm a rescue worker.
I'm a rescue worker.
I'm not CSI. Okay. John 13, verse 34 and 35, also in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." And that's, you know, I was looking up something and I started seeing all these negative articles about different ministers of the gospel. And I started thinking, everybody needs to know that they and we are his true followers. And while you can expect the heathen, you can expect unbelievers to have negative things to say, but it shouldn't come from the church. It shouldn't come from the church. And when the people see that the church is united on all fronts, they'll start taking what the church says and does much more seriously. Because when there is disagreement and you're on the outside looking at it, you'll say, "They don't know what they're doing. So why do I want to listen to anything they have to say?" When they get it together, you know, maybe we'll consider it. So if we just would just love one another, based on 1 Corinthians 13, all of these schisms and factions and other nonsense will just go away. When we get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, all of this stuff will go away. Because the Son of God doesn't act like that. And he's our example. And even more importantly, folks, we say something and, you know, we say it too casually. We say, "He's my Lord." Well, when you think about what that means, when someone is your Lord, you go to your Lord and get permission to do anything. You do nothing on your own. You only do what your Lord allows you to do. Amen. Period. Amen. Everything. Say everything, Pastor? Everything. You ask your Lord, "What do you want me to wear today?" See, we just get up and put together outfits or what. No, what should I wear today? Where do I go to the store? Can I have ice cream? Can we throw in a cookie? Something. You know. But when we get the revelation that Jesus is our Lord. Some really need to get the revelation that he's our Savior because we're just afraid of dying. We think about death and break out into a cold sweat. No, you need the revelation. Jesus is our Lord and he is our Savior. And we can do all things through him. All things. Amen. Once we get that revelation, we will be much better off. Amen. 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 I still have some things to tell you, but I'm going to see it get to the starting point. Okay. One of the reasons why God has me teaching in this area, Mark Hankins said something. I didn't hear it. Pastor Ed heard it, and he shared it with me, and we do that. We'll hear something, and we've gotten to the point where we don't call, 1 a.m. We may send a text, but we really don't expect a response then. But we get excited when we hear something or read, and we just want to share it with each other. And Mark Hankins said this, you can steal information, but you cannot steal revelation.
Right.
And I started thinking about that. And when I think about things, I start comparing them to Scripture. And the parable of the sower is a clear indication proving that point. Because it says in Matthew 13, verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that means you hear the word of the kingdom, but you don't have the revelation as to what it means. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Some translations say snatches away or plucks away or takes away. But what I found interesting, it does not say when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then the enemy comes and has to fight his way to get to that word to take it from you. It doesn't say the enemy has to dig down deep to dig up the word and get it out of you. No, it said the enemy just comes and just snatches it away. He just comes and he goes on about his business. I mean, I'll give you back your iPad. Okay. But that's what he does. There's no resistance because there's no understanding. We don't have the revelation as to what we have and what it can do. And I noticed something else. It doesn't say the enemy comes and takes away that word which you just heard. It said it takes away that which was sown in your heart. So that means it can upset your entire belief system. Because if the enemy can snatch away with his stripes, you were healed. If he could take that away from you, then if that word is not, why is that word not so powerful? Maybe it's because the one whose stripes is supposed to make this heal isn't all that. Well, if he's not all that, and he's supposed to be the Son of God, maybe there is no God. Maybe these other folks are right. Just because a word was taken away from you. So that's why it tells us in Proverbs 4, wisdom is the principal thing. Knowledge is the principal thing. But with all of your knowledge, get the revelation as to what it means. Get the revelation as to who you are because of what was said. We need that revelation. And what, because, see, a revelation, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I promised God I would stay on course today. And he didn't look at me and say, yeah, right. Okay. but I'm going to endeavor to do this. Look at Matthew 16. Passion Translation, verse 13. I'm going to read 13 to 18. And again, this isn't anything that you haven't heard. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question: "What are people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am?" They answered. Who answered? They answered. "Some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15. "But who do you say that I am?" They didn't answer. Simon Peter spoke up and said, "You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, pay attention to this, according to the Passion Translation, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed this to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone." Listen to this part carefully. "And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. My legislative assembly and the power of death will not be able to overcome it." Jesus is saying, he's not saying, "On this great big rock, I'm building my church." He's saying, "On the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the foundation for the church I'm building."
Yes, sir. Yes,
on the revelation.
Yes, yes.
Not the knowledge.
Because
knowledge, you can get misinformation. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. No, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
On that revelation, I'm building my church. And the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. If you don't have that revelation, even though you're a part of the church, you're going to be beaten up every step you take. Because you fail to realize that you're standing on there is no other foundation as solid as Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
There's nothing else that can compare to that. Nothing. I don't care how solid they think something is. That's the bedrock. That's the foundation to build upon. And I saw a principle hidden in there. Anytime you get the revelation of a word you hear, you can build on it. In anything. When you get the revelation that with his stripes you were healed, you can build on that. You'll understand that. You won't get bent out of shape, you know, when your body starts doing strange things. You'll have something to stand on that's unwavering. And it takes work to get it. That's why God said, study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word. That's why he said, meditate in the word day and night, observing to do all that it's written. Because something happens to you as you're meditating and doing all. Something happens. And it's supernatural. You, hear me carefully, you start growing in faith.
Yes.
You start growing.
Yes, sir.
Your faith is the same. You start growing in it. I just recently got a Samsung S8. I know the S9's route, but I wasn't spending that kind of money. And immediately, I had to get the revelation as to how this phone makes calls, receives texts, and that sort of thing. And as I got the revelation, the phone stayed, this isn't the S8, but just it'll work, the phone stayed the same size. It didn't get any bigger. Then I found out something else about my phone. I don't need to put a password in to unlock it. My fingerprint can unlock it. When that was revealed to me, I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. My phone didn't get any bigger.
Right.
Okay. Then I found something else out about it. It recognizes my face. So I can pick up the phone and go like this, and it'll unlock. Yes. And I'm like, whoa. And then I'm sitting down there. I lock it. Bing. Lock it. Bing. But my phone didn't get any bigger. But my knowledge of what it does went through the roof.
Amen.
And now all these things, now there's something Bixby. I don't know what that is yet. I said I don't have time to figure that one out. Bixby. Yeah. Thank you. My point is that when we meditate in the Word day and night, observing to do, that means what we read, we do. We start saying, whoa, I can do this. And you start believing in yourself. When I say that, I mean you start believing you can do whatever this Word says you can do. That's the place we want to get to. If all we need to know is, what does the Word say about this? Because I got the revelation that God's Word is true. And everything it says is yea and amen. Period. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that means you got the revelation. The revelation, it's our stabilizing force, folks. It really is. Calm down, one button at a time. Thank you. There we go. The Apostle Paul had those same feelings as to, you know, I can't take this anymore. You know, I'm at my end. I feel like I'm about to die. I don't know what I'm going to do. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. We're going to read verse 8 to 11. But I'm going to read it out of the Phillips translation. Give you a moment to get there. Honey, would you pass me? I don't want to. If I walk over there, it will get feedback. Thanks. Are you there? This is Phillips' New Testament. Says, we should like you, our brothers, to know something of what we went through in Asia. At that time, we were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. That's the way they were feeling. The Message Bible says it was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row. And that it was over for all of us. And the Passion Translation says, all of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. We were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts, and we still feel like it to this day. I was reading a devotional about that scripture. And it was by Pastor Rick Renner. And I took the time, you know me, to read it. And this time I didn't look up all of the words in the Greek. I looked up all of the words that stirred me in the Greek. And folks, those emotions that you're feeling are very real. They're not, you know, imitation, or using the word of the day, they're not fake emotions. they're real emotions. And it's sometimes it's to the point, you know, and just think about this. You don't have to raise your hand or say amen. But you're feeling like you're at a dead end and everything you do, nothing changes. And someone comes, a saint comes and starts telling you about the goodness of God and how you just keep on keeping on and everything will be right. And you say, well, you shut up. You just don't want to hear it. It's like, you don't know. That may be good for you, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't understand this hurt. And so we embrace the hurt and we don't embrace the word. We have the revelation of the hurt. We have the revelation of the discomfort. We have the revelation of the pain and the anguish. We have the revelation that we feel no matter which way we go, we run right smack into a wall. But even though we have that, we still have a responsibility to get up, dust ourselves off, and keep on going, doing what God called us to do. Say, well, how do you do that? I have an answer for you. I'm not going to just tell you just yet. But I'm going to ask you a question. What's the basis for our faith? What's the basis? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Give me a hit. The death, burial, and of our Lord. The death, burial, and resurrection. So when things look like it's dead or you're at a dead end, our God is in the resurrecting business. The only way a resurrection can occur is after something is dead, not before. Why are you going to resurrect something alive? You'd have to kill it first, then resurrect it. But we're too busy moaning about how we feel and what we're going through. We forgot that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And it will quicken, it will bring to life, it will make alive these mortal bodies. It'll change whatever the circumstance is. But if you don't have that revelation, you're going to wallow in self-pity and never get out of it. Now, folks, this doesn't work for some things. This works for everything. The Phillips translation, Romans 8, verse 10, I want to read the whole thing to you. Actually, in the Phillips translation, it starts at verse 9. It says, but you are not carnal, but spiritual if the Spirit of God finds a home within you. You cannot indeed be a Christian at all unless you have something of his Spirit in you. Now, if Christ does live within you, his presence means that your sinful nature is dead, but your spirit becomes alive because of the righteousness he brings with him. I said that our nature is dead in the presence of Christ, and so it is because of its sin. Nevertheless, once the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives within you, he will by that same Spirit bring your whole being new strength and vitality. Your whole being. Everything that is you and everything that concerns you, he will bring to new life and vitality by the same Spirit. Why? Because that's part of the resurrection life package. So you have to, probably most of us, if not all of us, that are of age have some sort of insurance policy. But all of us don't take the time to read all of the terms and the conditions of the insurance policy. What I want us to get a revelation about, and this is straight from the throne, okay? We have these insurance policies. We don't know what they cover. All we know, I got insurance. What are the limits? I don't know. What does it cover? What are the benefits? I don't know. Why do you have it? Well, they said I needed it. We have this word that has guarantees in it. That's right. It's a more sure word. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits? I don't know. What are the limits? I don't know. What's it cost? Well, I think it's free. No, we have to take the time and study our policy. We have to study our word. Some policies have a deductible. And we, as believers, sometimes treat the word like it has not just a deductible, but a high deductible. We think there's some things we have to endure before the word kicks in. We think there's some things we have to fix before the word kicks in and takes over the rest. Well, if that's what you're thinking, you are sadly misinformed. Sadly. There is no deductible. There's no copay with the word. It was paid in full, as Gertrude shared with us, on the cross. Your policy was paid in full. And you are entitled to everything that it provides. Not some things. Everything that the word says is yours, is yours. Everything the word says you can do, you can do. See, if you don't believe, or if you don't have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, then the truth that the Christ gave us power over all the power of the enemy won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing. Because you don't have the revelation as to who Jesus is. So whatever he gives you, you're not going to have the full revelation of that. We've been made more than conquerors. More than conquerors. How many of you know that scripture? Yeah, we all know it. But we don't all have the revelation of it. Because if you find yourself moaning and complaining and feeling defeated, you don't have the revelation that you've been made to be more than a conqueror in every situation. Like the song says, hallowed be thy name. You're more than a conqueror in every situation, but you got to know that. You have to understand that. You need the revelation about that. I'm going to finish this scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:8, but I switched over to the voice because I saw something or something else was revealed in here about it. And Paul saw it, and I know he probably wishes he had seen it sooner. I'll start with verse 9 for time. He said, we thought we would have to serve out our death sentences right then and there. As a result of them feeling like all their strength was gone and all this stuff was happening and, you know, we might as well die. I mean, we're going to die anyway. So as a result, we realized that we could no longer rely on ourselves and that we must trust solely in God who possesses the power to raise the dead. And I'm thinking, let's rewind that for a minute. As a result, we realized we could no longer rely on ourselves. Why are we relying on ourselves in the first place? When we were already told that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And we don't believe it, so we have to live it out to prove it. And then we get upset when we find out, yeah, what he said is true. No, he's telling us these things up front. Why do you think he's telling them to us? So we don't do it. He's telling, you can't do a thing without me. And you say, oh, watch, I'm going to prove you wrong, Jesus. No, you're going to prove that you're foolish, that you don't believe what he said. I like the way the Message Bible puts this. It said, instead of trusting in our own strength or wits, we get out of it. Instead of trusting in our own strengths or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. Not a bad idea at all. Why not start out trusting God?
Amen.
Why not start out inquiring of God? What do you, all right, Lord, I believe this is what you're telling me to do. How do you want me to do this? Yes, I have natural knowledge. Yes, I've learned some things, but is this the way you want me to do it? Folks, say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. We have to stop just following 7 steps to this, 12 steps to that, 5 steps to this, 2 steps. It worked for the author. And he's giving you some ideas. But we're using that as a substitute for the Holy Ghost. You're convinced it's going to take 7 steps before your prayers get answered. I got to do these 7 things. Whatever happened to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Whatever happened to that? Didn't say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much after he completes these 12 steps. It's no 12-step program. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you, period. Now, I'm not saying those books are wrong. Hey, if you don't know anything, it's a good starting place for you. But we use those tools instead of the Holy Ghost. Something happens in our body, we'll whip out, it is written for my healing. What if that's not what God wants you to do? Your kids are acting up, it is written for my children. Children don't like the way the parents are acting, they whip out, it is written for my parents. Instead of falling on your knees and saying, Lord, what do I do about what just happened? What do you want me to say? What word do you want me to use? Yes, I have knowledge of the word. Yes, I'm a student of the word, but I am not the Holy Ghost. I don't know all of the situations surrounding this. So what word do I release? Because that's the word that will work. Now, if he says, go get this book on 7 steps, then you go get the book on 7 steps. Remember, God was upset not because the man went to the doctor. He was upset because he went to the doctor before he went to him. You go to God, I'm having this discomfort in my stomach. What should I do about this? He may say, go get it checked out. Or he may say, stop eating all that food at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, whatever he tells you to do, it's what will work. And guess what? You don't have to concern yourself with any side effects. None. But if God tells you go to the doctor, and that doctor gives you a prescription, my wife will tell you, we do it all the time. The doctors will give us a prescription. We'll look at him and smile. He says, you're going to get filled? We don't know yet. So, well, I'm going to give it to you. And then when you pray, if God tells you to fill it, then you'll have the prescription. But I don't use the logic, well, if God told me to go to the doctor, then he expects me to do everything that the doctor said. Now, if he tells me go to the doctor and do everything that he said, which he told me once. The first time they thought they saw a blood clot, and I said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? What do we do? He said, let them do what they want. I said, they want to stick a needle in my stomach. He said, let them do what they want. But this is what you do. Every waking moment, according to Deuteronomy, all sickness and disease is a curse of the law. But Galatians says that Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Blood clots are a curse of the law. Jesus Christ has revealed me from, not blood clots, pulmonary embolisms was the term. Pulmonary embolisms are a curse of the law. Jesus Christ, he redeemed me from pulmonary embolisms. Therefore, my lungs are clear. God said, say that every waking moment. So if I'm lying in the bed. According to Deuteronomy, every waking moment, I talked in my sleep. Oh, I would say I do that often. But the nurses came and woke me up. And they said, are you all right? Are you all right? I said, yeah, why did you think of that? They said, you're talking about curses and things like that. Then the doctor came in and he examined me. And he had this puzzled look on his face. And he said, excuse me for a minute. He said, I need to go and look at this film. And he came back. And he said, Rev, I apologize. I don't know why you're here. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know why I'm here? He said, I looked at the film. Your lungs are clear. I wanted to say, God, why didn't you tell me that before you had them stick me twice? No. I thanked God and picked up the phone. I said, honey, come get me. All right. But I went to find out, God, what do you want me to do about this? Amen. Period. Amen. Why? Because I got the revelation that Father knows best. Okay. So please. Too many people have given up and left because they did not get the revelation of who they really are in Christ. Amen. And what the word really means. They haven't gotten the revelation. Amen. So when you don't know, what happens to you in the natural, when you don't know something, does frustration come in? You get all frazzled. Your attitude changes. You know, not yet you're mad at anybody, but you want to know. Amen. There's something going on in here, and I want to know what it is. Amen. I used to get caught up in that. Said, I gotta know. There's a reason why this keeps happening. And I would say with my mouth, and I'm not gonna rest till I find out this reason. Yeah, guess what happened to me? Okay. I'm thinking of the lyrics to a song Pastor Clinton wrote. But if you let him take control, he will work a miracle. All you need, he is all you need. He is all we need. And we need to get that revelation. Not a bad idea since he's the God that raised the dead.
Yes.
I'm going to unhook. I'm going to read Romans 8:11 in the Message Bible once more. but I'm going on the hook because I see myself winding up. Get this revelation. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. He will, by that same spirit, bring your whole life, your whole being, new strength and vitality. Your whole being. Dead ends, this isn't in the scripture, I'm just making a statement. Dead ends will bring new beginnings. New beginnings. And we're going to say something. God, yeah, I was reading part of this. It's a capitulation of what God said and what I read in Sparkling Gems. It says, why are we trying to do anything in our own strength? Since it's God's spirit that raised Christ from the dead and that same spirit dwells in you, why are you deciding when God's spirit is necessary and when it's not? Jesus said that we can do nothing apart from him. That means in our own strength, we are no match for anything the devil has. No match for it. But if you will just stay connected to God through Christ, leaning on his resurrection power, you'll find that there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. And that dead end place you may be facing right now will become a place of new beginnings.